That's all I ask for, because right now, what the current state that we're living in, people are scared, and there's no reason to be scared. Stand up for your fellow man and woman and your fellow human beings, because
we're out of time. Thank you so much, Cody Hall, a Lakota person who at the time reported to us from the Red Warrior camp in Standing Rock. Appreciate you joining us again. Thank you. Bye-bye. And thanks to Sarah and to Lainey. I'm Esti Dinor. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
Sugar and spine, I feel nice. Sugar and spine, so nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel, and with us, as always, the man who will gladly play you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
I will, actually.
You will. Yeah, I knew it. I can see. I know what's going on over there. It's Dr. Smarty Pants.
Dr. Smarty Pants, thank you so much.
How are you
Dr.
doing?
Of Thinkology.
Dr. X.
Exactly. So I just want to mention that if we start to sound a little funny, it's because the HVAC is not working in the studio. And I don't know if you can tell, Mel, but the funk is already starting to rise in here. And I don't mean the good kind.
I thought that was on the weekend.
Yeah, no, it's in everything here. So when I first came
in... So we're going to turn up the funk, is what you're
saying. Yeah, we got to turn up the funk, yeah, whether we like it or not. But when I first came in here, we had all the fans on. All the fans were on in here.
And,
you know,
and then we chased them out.
We're not used to having fans. Yeah, we don't know what that's all about. But the fans were all on, and Chris was here, and of course
Chris Powers,
yes, one of our WRT personalities.
That'd be a good name for a superhero.
Yeah, like Max Powers. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah.
But he had the fans on. I said, "What's with the fans?" And he said, "It's the new WRT Zeppelin." So I'm up for it, you know. So I had a scotch and water and watched Moravia go by or whatever, you know. So that was fine. But I love the idea that we were in a Zeppelin, because I love Zeppelin.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. So I heard this week, and I actually learned something. It's not terribly useful, but about the band Led Zeppelin.
Oh, okay.
When Jimmy Page was starting it.
Sure.
It was a first. It was a joke by the Who's drummer Keith Moon. He said, "Oh, that's going to go over like a Led Zeppelin." You know, kind of like, it's an old saying.
Yes.
And he goes, "Oh, that's it'd be a good name for a band." But they spelled it. But Page decided to spell it LED.
Sure.
So that people wouldn't mispronounce it and call it Lead Zeppelin.
Oh, like if you had a fleet of Zeppelins, you might have a Lead Zeppelin. Makes total sense to me. You know, I went through a period where I was really obsessed with Zeppelins when I was a child.
No,
I went through. I went through my.
Did you draw a lot of them?
I drew a lot of them, but I pretended I was a Zeppelin. I would come home from school and I would shuffle along, you know, looking down on the landscape, you know, and I would get home. My mother was like, "Why did it take you so long to get home?" And I couldn't tell her that I was a majestic Zeppelin, surveying the landscape. Parents never understand these things.
So,
I also went through a steamboat phase.
Yeah, did you ever burst into flames? Well, you kind of did.
Yeah, that was later.
Oh, the humanity.
You did say
the humanity a lot.
I might have. I remember my parents laughing at me when I was about 6 or 7 because I said something literally fell apart. And I guess I used the word literally incorrectly, but many people do. But I said that when I was like 7 or something. Mm-hmm. And they started laughing and I thought, oh, they're making fun of me. And I found out years later they thought I was really precocious, not surprisingly.
Mm.
And so, but I spoke like this when I was like 7. What can I say?
And one time when I was a little kid, it was winter time, and you know, I didn't like a lot of little kids, I didn't want to dress up a lot.
Sure.
I didn't want to wear a hat and gloves and mittens and everything. Yeah. And I said, well, it's going to be warmer. And my dad said, no, it's like, you know, 3 below now. And I said, I'm referring to the future. And my dad, with his sixth grade education, was not appreciative.
Where's the belt? Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll show you referring to the future.
I'm still kind of embarrassed.
You know, the worst thing I ever said to my dad, and this is, I feel bad about it to this day. My father departed. He died fairly young, actually, in his early 70s. But I remember one time he was always trying to get me to work on cars, because that's what you did in Eastern Kentucky.
Sure.
You went out on a Saturday, you get your nastiest T-shirt on, and you pop the lid, and you just got into there and messed around with cars.
You got to get a beer first.
Yeah, well, actually, there's not a lot of drinking in my family.
Oh, well, okay.
Thank goodness. Yeah, that would have just been one more thing to worry about. But anyway, no, we'd go out there and we'd be sitting there doing all this stuff. But I never liked it that much. I was just kind of like, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so one time he got very angry at me, and he said, what are you going to do one day when you've got to fix your car, get your car fixed, or something wrong with it? And I said, and I felt so bad afterwards, and I still feel bad about it to this day. This is confession time. I said, I'll hire somebody like you to do it for me. He did not talk to me for 3 days, which he was completely within his rights.
I'm surprised he didn't go out for a pack of cigarettes and not come back.
That's the strategy in the area, but no. He was. I don't know. We. You know. Yeah. As I got older, you know, it is when you're a kid, you think your parents are the dumbest people in the world.
Yeah.
And then it depends on the parent, of course. But you get older, you think, well, they're not so bad. They're just doing what they can.
Right.
I kind of felt that way about my parents at that point.
Yeah. So, I remember as a little kid, I couldn't wait till I got big enough to beat up my dad. Well, it was the era where they'd spank you and hit you with a belt and stuff. And so I'd be, you know, angry about that. And I go, when I get bigger, I'm going to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And then once I did get, like, bigger, taller than he did, I didn't feel like beating the crap out of him anymore.
Yeah, you know, so. Well, I'm the tallest one in my family, and I can just tell people I'm 5'10". I had a family of very small people. Like, my dad was, like, 5'7", 5'8", or something like that. My mom is 5 foot tall. So I was towering over everybody. There was not a lot of people attempting to spank me. They'd have to get up on a ladder to do it, you know, sort of thing. But I was the first one in my family to hug. And, you know, because people don't hug. People didn't hug back in the day. I was the first one in my family to hug. And it was funny because my dad took to it. He was very friendly, nice guy. He just gave me a big hug, you know, and my mom would hug me and stuff. My grandmother, remember the first time I hugged my grandmother, my mother's mother, it was like hugging an ironing board. So I realized I got to do a different strategy with this one. So what I would do is I would take her hand, like I was shaking her hand, and then I kind of hold her arm a little bit. And that was as close as I could get
to
the torso. It was like no closer. That was it. But that was her generation. You know, like, what is this? What are you trying to pull? We're not Italian. What's your problem?
German one?
Yes. Yeah. Stiff as a board. Hey, there's stuff going on in the world. It's not just about us and our memories and our personalities. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently, I can't imagine why, but apparently the approval rating for the president of these United States, Donald Jessica Trump, has been going down faster than a SpaceX missile on launch. So,
and a Zeppelin over Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. So he already started out pretty lower than any other president except for Donald Trump part one in terms of his initial
He thinks it's like golf where the lower score is better.
Probably does. And he's an idiot, if you notice that.
Yeah,
he really is. He doesn't know how the heck the world works. But he started out at only about a half, you know, of the country liking him to begin with, which is most presidents start out like maybe in the high 50s, 60s even.
You got your honeymoon.
Yeah, both Obama and George W. Bush, for example. And George W. Bush was no, you know, bright light. He started out like a 60-some percent approval rating. People want to give you a benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, already we're not even in, you know, 4 months in and he's down to 45%. And plunging precipitously. Some people think that his approval rating, composite approval rating, is because people sort of like his personality. There are people that do, surprisingly. But when you ask about individual issues, like things, the economy and defense and so on, not surprising, Donald Trump, traitor and oathbreaker, has basically doesn't do so well on those issues.
Traitor and oathbreaker, yep. And then J.D. Vance is the Pope killer now.
I was, as soon as I saw that, I thought, okay, when is this going to get, this meme going to get going? Because if it's not going, I'm going to start it.
The best one I saw, it was, had a picture of Vance's wife, a sofa, and the Pope, and it said, F, marry, and kill.
Oh, the poor Pope.
Can you blame him?
I think it was the fumes from the Maybelline, but I'm assuming. It was like, you know, the Holy Father's sitting there. What is the...
Oh, I'm done.
I'm done. What's the deal? You know, I got to say, I mean, I know people...
The Pope knows he's going to heaven, so...
Yeah, he's got a straight shot. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about Christianity. It's all, I know a guy, you know what I mean? It's like... I know a guy. It's nothing to worry about. It's not about me. It's about knowing the guy. But, you know, I got to say, I admired the Pope because his he really did, with his Laudato Si and his other papal letter that he wrote about the environment. I mean, you know, this is a very complicated issue in Christian thought. Like, what is our relationship to the earth, human relationship to the earth? And, you know, the Pope was really out there, I think. People didn't understand him because they don't understand that there was a system of thinking before capitalism. But I mean, his idea was like, this is, you know, we're stewards of the earth. We're supposed to be taking care of it.
It says that in a book somewhere.
Yeah, don't just use it up until there's nothing left. Squeeze it like a husk until it's empty or something. And so his, I think his comments on that is papal. He wrote one papal encyclical, and then he wrote a follow-up letter that said, what did you not get about the first thing that I wrote? You know? People said, oh, he's some kind of liberal. And he's like, no, he just thinks that the earth has a value independently of human need and certainly human sort of frivolous use.
That should not be a fringe idea.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you would think. but kudos to him for pushing so hard on that, because he really did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, within the confines of what you can do in a conservative organization like that, I mean, he did stuff like that. He really didn't care about gay issue. Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, whatever. I mean,
the thing is, I mean, this is, and people got him on his case about that too. But, you know, what he did was, and this is the thing that's funny about this stuff, he never changed any, he didn't say women should be ordained. He didn't say being gay was okay. All he did was say, could we not talk about that for 5 freaking minutes?
Yeah.
Because a lot of contemporary Christians just think, well, this is the religion of no. I didn't do that, so I'm good. Or I didn't do that, so I'm good. You know, it's like, well, how about like helping the poor and encouraging social justice and not raping the earth? And what about those things? You know, let's talk about those for 5 minutes.
And I mean, you know, and there's certainly the Catholic Church is problematic in a lot of ways, and especially the cover-ups that they've gotten so good at. But you know, so I mean, give him props for what he did within those boundaries, and you know, he certainly could have done more. But you know, the next guy will be an overcorrection, probably. You know,
no doubt.
Oh, let's see. Wisconsin judge arrested. This is a huge story. Wisconsin judge arrested, accused of shielding immigrant from federal agents.
Yeah.
This is a scary story.
The scary thing is the U.S. Marshals arrested her.
Yeah.
And the U.S. Marshals are supposed to be there. You know, that group was created back under the Judiciary Act of 1789. They're supposed to be there to protect and serve the judges. But as our bureaucracy has evolved, they are now under the administration of the Justice Department. And we all know what the Justice Department is being used, basically like Nixon used it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So they just sent, but so they just said, Marshals, arrest her.
You know?
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just frightening.
Yeah, this is a scary line to cross. And
they claimed that she helped people that they were trying to abduct, basically. ICE was trying to abduct. She gave them advance warning.
Yeah.
And they hightailed it. Yeah. That's the accusation. Hopefully she will not end up in beautiful El Salvador.
Yeah, no kidding. So, well, the White House people are saying that, well, we can't have due process for everyone. There just wouldn't be enough time to handle all of these deportations and have them go through the, you know, the legal process.
I can think of one person that doesn't deserve due process. Can you think of one?
He's gotten a lot of due process.
Yeah, he has. That hair looks like he's got a triple process, if you ask me.
What else here? Hegseth is putting in a makeup studio in the Pentagon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And how do we know? Because he's been tweeting it out on his secret, you know, cable thing. People in Russia are like, oh, again with the makeup salon.
He had like a regular internet connection. I mean, not secure or anything, and he was for his signal chat.
He's just a himbo.
Yeah,
he looks good with his shirt off. You know, this is the thing about Trump. If you look good, then he thinks that you're gonna.
His favorite line. His two favorite lines are: "Someone kissed his ass," because he likes saying that. And then this person is from Central Casting.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yeah.
So. And then the tears in the eyes thing, but.
That one's kind of old. I don't think he says that much.
Yeah. It's gotten to be a gag and a joke. A meme.
Right.
But,
exactly.
He said that, he's been talking to China and to Xi, and then China said, no, you haven't.
Yeah, I know. And a reporter asked him about that and said, well, are you having conversations? Because China says no. I said, well, ask the people that were talking to him this morning. And China said, no. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, the thing about it is, again, just put it, you know, when they put that Donald Trump's head on the $20 bill or whatever they're going to do, whatever BS, just put underneath our new motto, Trump lies. I mean, that's just like, why do you even ask him a question? Like, you know it's going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that they'll have an agreement in 3 or 4 weeks. So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're going to give Crimea to Russia. And that's,
well, that too.
That's their wonderful way of solving that problem. So, yeah, right. He got in a little hissy fit with Daddy Putin. I don't know if you saw that, about the fact that...
stop the bombing.
Yeah, that Putin's not basically conforming to what
he... Yeah, he put it in all caps on Truth Social.
Oh, well,
so
that means it's going to really...
Serious.
Yeah, he's stamping his little foot.
They're also... Department of Justice is going to investigate the Act Blue. It's the Democratic fundraising structure, or whatever you call it, but they said that because
it's not getting money from Russia.
It's always this the accusation is a confession kind of thing. They're going to investigate it for foreign money influence, and they're given foreign.
That's
money.
What all of the authoritarian countries say. Hungary leads the way on that. Anything that gets any funding from anywhere else immediately, that's
again, back to the judge. I mean, that's a very common authoritarian act is to start arresting judges. I mean,
right.
That
and
don't rule the right way.
And especially if you start further down the line, I mean, that's the fear comes up from below,
oh,
right?
Sure.
I mean, she's
sure.
just a county judge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, but you know, you send the shockwaves, you scare people.
Well, it's scaring me.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. So.
But you can be scared and still not acquiesce.
No, we're not going to do that. So. Yesterday the Attorney General said that Trump had asked her to investigate Act Blue and other donation groups, and what the White House says is a crackdown on illegal straw donor and foreign contributions in American elections. Because we wouldn't want people having like this dark money coming into convention elections or foreign money. We don't want that involved. Mm-hmm. So we got to really crack down on that. So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there was a flashy announcement of the most exclusive, this of course again in all caps, the most exclusive invitation in the world, capital W. So let me guess, just from the way this announcement looks, this is an online announcement. It says the most exclusive invitation in giant letters in the, and then for some strange reason, world is capitalized.
Yeah.
Does that sound like anybody we know?
Yeah.
No, it's a private, intimate private dinner.
Yeah.
So it's a private dinner, but it's an intimate private dinner. That's very intimate, apparently. With President Trump at his members-only golf club in Virginia. It's a seat will be reserved for you. You, if you want to be one of the 220 investors in $ Trump, it's a cryptocurrency, of course, that he launched on the eve of the inauguration. So it's they are just cashing in big time. So they're trying to get people to come to this thing, and you know, this is have dinner with President Trump. Dinner's also capitalized,
of course.
And the dollar sign, all caps, Trump community. Is that a community? I guess kind of like a pirate. His horde is a community.
And like something you'd see under a microscope, maybe.
Ooh. What is that?
E. coli or something.
Right. Let the president know how many Trump. Although, what I love is, with that dollar sign, it looks like it says strump.
Yeah.
Like a strumpet is what I think of. You know, a person who gives themselves away for money.
Yeah.
Coins you own. So, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. No one in the history of the United States has ever attempted anything
how is
so ridiculously over the top and corrupt. It's frankly just incredible. I mean, this is just a pay-to-play deal. I mean, explicitly.
Sure.
That's
sure.
all it is.
Yeah.
So there's a business entity linked to Mr. Trump that owns a big tranche of the coins, meaning that the president personally profits every time the price increases.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, at least on paper. I mean, that's
right.
Crypto
right.
is all made up anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In that crypto reserve that we have.
Forgot about that
one. But here's the thing. This is the really thing that makes you worried. We have a quote here from a woman by the name of Victoria Hanneman. She's a law professor at Creighton University. And she says the real problem with this is not that he's making money, but that he may maneuver our system and our laws and regulations to make sure that the profit is maximized.
Sure, sure.
So you're going to see basically his interest in making more money dictating how the structures,
right.
work.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, questions about market manipulation already with the, you know, the tariffs on, tariffs off, you know, the Karate Kid thing there where it's like, you know.
Well, whatever happened with MTG? I mean, she was in trouble, supposedly, because she sold or bought, right? Was it right before the market went up or something, or sold or whatever she did?
Oh, I'm sure.
She did something.
I'm sure
the
ethics investigators will get right on that.
Yeah,
well. That's another one. She was complaining about how the Democrats all got so rich when they came into Congress and how they got so rich on government salaries. And
Look over there.
She's made like $20 million or something. I don't know the exact numbers, but somewhere around that since she's been in Congress.
And,
I mean, it's not a coincidence when you've got the guy who can make the markets go up and down.
Yeah.
And he tells you 6 hours ahead of time what he's going to do.
Which is exactly why he's angry with the Federal Reserve chair.
Right.
That guy's not going to play along with whatever
not playing
he
ball.
Wants. So President Trump also raised $230 million for his inauguration. And I have to say, since I was there, I'm not sure we got our $239 million worth.
Oh, I think they did.
They did. Yeah, exactly. But it was a record amount. And, of course, it was all fueled by, as you might imagine, corporate America's desire to curry favor. This total was actually disclosed in a filing with the Federal Election Commission. So that's still operating for some reason. Apparently, somebody hasn't looked into this yet, but it's more than double the previous record of $107 million. You know, with Trump, he's probably proud of the fact that he managed to raise that much money. So that's probably why they're able to report it out. About 140 people or companies gave at least $1 million, including, and it's a kind of a rundown of all the evil in the world, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Delta Airlines, and Target, of course. The committee was formerly known as the Trump-Vance Inaugural Committee, and it's required by law to name donors and dollar amounts over $200. I don't know if there's a special category for, like, how many over $200.
Up to a million. So.
Yeah. The three largest contributors were Pilgrims, which is a poultry producer.
That they weren't real Pilgrims.
No. Yeah.
No.
A crypto company named Ripple Incorporated. And Warren Stevens, one guy. He's a Republican donor who gave $4 million on the same day, and I'm sure this is a coincidence, Mel, December 2nd, 2024. That was the year that the day that Mr. Trump named him as ambassador to Great Britain. And then he just managed to cough up $4 million.
That's
that day.
Sweet plum. That's one of the ones, you know, you want to be the ambassador to France or Great Britain.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but if you're a MAGA maniac, you want to go someplace where they actually, you don't have to learn another language.
Yeah. I did like the story this week where that, you know, Dump announced that he was doing these, you know, 134% tariffs or something. Yeah, yeah. And then, but then he had a meeting with all these people from like the owners of Walmart and Target and a bunch of other, you know, big box type places. And, and they said, we're going to be looking at empty shelves in like July if you do this. And so then the next day it's like, well, we're going to back off on the tariffs now.
See, again, this is the thing. I mean, I don't want him to destroy the economy.
No.
But the fact of the matter is he obviously doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
He has no clear picture. You would think at some point along the line here, the people that love him for whatever reason are going to say, okay, we still love him, but he's really doesn't, this is not working. This is just not working for us.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I saw a story this week that said how Wall Street was misled by Trump or something like that. Like, you know,
greedy pigs. That's all it was.
That they wanted everything. Yeah, I mean, they're already making billions and trillions of dollars.
But we have to dance around and talk about how great they are.
Yeah. And they wanted to get rid of all the regulation, you know, on their businesses and their clients' businesses.
Right.
And they wanted to get all the tax cuts.
Yeah.
And they just were so greedy that they were willing to...
The problem is, in order to pick somebody that's stupid enough to think that's a good idea for a contemporary economy, then basically, you know, that's pretty stupid. Caller says, in case you haven't seen it, George Santos was convicted and sentenced to 7 years.
Yeah.
He cried like a baby.
Did he?
Nothing wrong with that. And he'll never do it again.
That's right. Yeah, he learned his lesson.
I fully expect he'll have some kind of scam set up in prison.
Oh, he'll have like a little OnlyFans or something.
Oh,
set up.
Yeah. Don't even go there.
But I mean, this idea that Wall Street was misled was such a joke. And there's so much of that going on with the New York Times and the Washington Post and you know, the major networks. It's like, well, what is Trump's plan? It's like, well, he doesn't have a plan.
Yeah,
and you have
to
admit that after 10 years of this stuff, you got to quit giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I got one word for you. Iraq. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, this reminds me of like all these crazies that thought, oh, that'll work out fine. And the people that knew anything about history or how reality works, you know, they're kind of like, no, that's not going to work out fine.
Yeah.
And then when it worked out terribly and it like super terribly and we're there for a decade or whatever, then everybody's like, well, I deserve credit though, because, you know, I wasn't biased against it at the beginning. You know, I'm like, you know, I changed my mind when the facts changed. Like, no, you were an idiot.
Okay, Mr. Friedman.
David Brooks, the sophist in chief.
Yeah. And then there was all this amnesia afterwards, too. It's like, well, I was never for that.
No.
That was a stupid idea.
Nobody voted for Nixon.
Yeah, so. McGovern actually won that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. One more of these. I got to put these away. But the leader had told us one time that he was, this is kind of springs from the same topic.
Sure.
He mentioned that they were thinking of increasing taxes on millionaires.
Yeah.
And and the media just slavishly repeated that like it was the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson shoot down millionaire tax hike. No kidding.
<Yeah. laughs>
They were never going to do that.
Yeah. Look at the puppet.
Oh, God. So.
One thing I just want to mention is we are coming up on the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, and which was April 30th of 1975. And as you might imagine, that was the end of the Vietnam War. And they're going to have events in what is now called Ho Chi Minh City, which is, of course, formerly what was called Saigon. And veterans... some veteran groups are decided to come there, and four U.S. officials that were insisted on anonymity said, though, they're being told to stay away. Apparently, the Trump administration is saying, "Don't be there." And of course, the thing about it is, they're not requiring the U.S. to do anything except just be there. It's all ceremonial. But apparently, embassy officials and some others are being told not to do this. April 30th happens to be the 100th day of President Trump's second term. And some officials have speculated, and of course, it's not about, you know, being embarrassed for what happened back then. They speculated that that someone might fear that this is going to draw attention away from the leader at a time when, of course, he wants to be in the spotlight. In 1968, a year when 296,406 Americans were drafted, Mr. Trump received a diagnosis of bone spurs in his heels that led to medical exemption. So we wouldn't want to draw attention to what was Donald J. Trump doing during that period of time.
Well, he had his own personal Vietnam a little later.
Yeah, so, I heard about that.
Yeah.
By the way, I mentioned, I think, last week that the anniversary of the fall of Phnom Penh was last week. That was the 17th. So we're coming up on some pretty significant anniversaries, I would say, with respect to, I don't know, the last time the United States was crazy.
Well, I mean, a lot of the stuff we're seeing now is sort of still a ripple from Vietnam, Vietnam and Watergate and women's rights and
it's close
civil
enough.
Rights.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's close enough in time. I mean, there's a direct line between Nixon and Trump, Roger Stone.
Yeah.
There's a direct line between Trump and McCarthy. Yeah, Roy Cohn. I mean, it's just like the monsters of the past are basically embodied in the monster of today.
I remember when I was a kid, I was thinking, well, when the older people die off, and like all the younger people I knew were, you know, pretty cool, and accepting of things, and I thought, well, when the older people die off, then it's going to be nice, and it didn't turn out that way.
Well, I think that the problem is we always think, how can people be so dumb? But it's new people. They didn't have those experiences. You know, young people, there's a lot of young people toy around with fascist thinking. And it's because they don't know what it was like from their own personal experience, what those things were like. And they don't see the parallels necessarily. So you do have young people that you would think we would be sort of evolved beyond some of these ideas. But that isn't the way it works, because a whole new generation of people have to experience, apparently, how things can go wrong.
Yeah, and we have a whole new world now as far as the media and the social media and how to, you know, the algorithms and how to manipulate people and how to use propaganda, which is a million times more sophisticated than anything that Hitler and Goebbels could have dreamed of.
Yeah, Hitler's just screaming into a microphone. People thought, wow, that's great. That's the bee's knees. I'm convinced already.
That was a short one. It was only 3.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. But when he started talking about his mother-in-law, I was just kind of like, what is your deal, dude?
And these showers. I can't get a good lather on my mustache.
His hair always looked very greasy.
It did.
So, bad hair management.
But I do, I don't want to be too biased here. I want to give Hitler his due. We got to get out of here in a minute, but for a break. But he would look really good on an online dating profile.
I think he would.
I mean, he's trim.
Yeah.
He likes dogs.
He does, yeah.
He likes dogs. He's a vegetarian.
He was a vegetarian, yes.
Has a very responsible job.
Exactly.
And
again, he rose above his adversities to become a world leader.
I mean, it's like... So he likes to paint. He's got an artistic side.
This is the whole thing about the Bill Maher. I don't know if you're about the whole Bill Maher thing.
Yeah.
And Larry David did a wonderful take on that. But I was thinking the same thing, because it's like in the movie, the producers, the guy that's the neo-Nazi says, you know, Hitler was a better dancer than Churchill. He was a better dresser than Churchill. He told funnier jokes than Churchill. I mean, it's like, yeah, let's focus on the really important stuff.
All right, we have to take a break, play some announcements, and we will be back in a couple minutes.
You're hard. Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Attention WORT volunteers and donors. WORT is holding an election for two open participating member seats and one open listener sponsor seat to serve three-year terms on the Board of Directors of Back Porch Radio Broadcasting, Inc., with terms beginning at June and concluding at the annual meeting in June 2028. Financial acumen, computer literacy, and a willingness to work within a dynamic group to help shape this great station are all desirable qualifications. People of underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply. Some committee hours are required outside of board meetings. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 15th to ensure consideration. Voting begins Thursday, May 29th and continues until the annual meeting on Sunday, June 29th. More information and board applications are available at wardfm.org or on paper in the station lobby. Help us keep WORT a vibrant and important part of our community. Apply today.
Hi, this is Casey Fox, host of Guilty Pleasures, every Wednesday night, 8 to 11 p.m. here on WORT. The Milwaukee Film Festival started April 24th and runs for 2 weeks. On my show, April 30th, I'll be featuring oodles of interviews with producers and directors of films coming up at the Oriental and Downer Theaters in the Lower East Side of Milwaukee. It'd be great to have you tuned in to find a movie right in your wheelhouse that you can maybe take your friends and or relatives to make a day of it in Milwaukee. So please tune in Wednesday, April 30th, 8 to 11 p.m. as I highlight week 2 of the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Get on the good foot. And we're back. What you doing over there?
Fiddling.
Is Rome burning again?
Yeah, it certainly is. I got three stories about the what China is doing. So China's not just sitting around while we do our crazy stuff. One thing that China did this week was they warned other countries against curbing trade with China in order to win a reprieve from American tariffs. In other words, the Ministry of Commerce was saying that this is according to media reports that President Trump was saying that if they want to get a better deal from the U.S., then they have to not have China as a trading partner. And now China is saying back that appeasement will not bring peace. This is according to the Ministry of Commerce of the PRC. Appeasement will not bring peace and compromise will not earn respect. Seeking so-called exemptions by harming the interests of others is like negotiating with a tiger for his skin. In the end, it will only lead to a lose-lose situation. So the Chinese aren't just sitting around waiting for Trump to tell them what to do. In addition, we grow a lot of soybeans in this part of the country, and soybeans is something that last year, I think the United States, it was over 25 million or something metric tons. And that's worth billions of dollars, like a couple billion dollars or something. And China says, you know what? We're going to look for soybeans somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you guys can just go twist in the wind.
Well, that happened the last time.
Yeah, good job, Mr. President. Yeah. And then finally, U.S. chip makers are losing the China market.
Chip makers.
People are making chips for computers, artificial intelligence included. And apparently in China, they're saying, you know what? We don't need your crazy chips. We will go and look for them somewhere else or, indeed, make them ourselves. So, again, great job. I'm just so tired of the winning. Well, One more piece of economic news. Consumers worried about the economy are pulling back on their spending. On Thursday, PepsiCo, the makers of Pepsi Cola, cut its full year guidance outlook. That's what they tell investors they think what's going to look like for them in the coming year. Mm-hmm. They cited a reduction in consumer spending. Relative to where we were 3 months ago, we probably aren't feeling as good about the consumer right now. Well, you know what? They're not feeling so great about you either.
3 months ago, huh? What happened 3 months ago?
Yeah, it is pretty funny. I don't know what it was. I don't know what could have happened. It's a change, alignment of the stars.
Yeah.
The company manufactures Pepsi and Gatorade, as well as Doritos and Cheetos. And they cut its profit forecast.
They're all of America's staples.
Yeah, I know. Those are the four food groups. I'm just kind of like, how can this be?
Well, it's according to the FDA now. FDA / PepsiCo.
Yeah, exactly. They reported a decline of 1.8% in revenue. That's about $18 billion for the quarter that ended March 22nd. And a drop of 10% in net income. So on this report, PepsiCo stock fell by about 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking people aren't spending as much on little treats because they're not sure if they got the money to spend money on little treats.
Sure.
That's not so good.
Scientists find measles likely to become endemic in the U.S. over the next 20 years.
Oh, lovely. Again. All the winning.
It's tied to vaccination rates among kindergartners. That's mm-hmm. steadily declined in recent mm-hmm. years. And, mm-hmm. of course, with our new Health and Human Services brainworm vowing to reexamine the childhood vaccination schedule. So. Now, he made some comments. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but he made some comments about autistic people.
Yeah.
That were just
right
over the line.
Yeah,
just
19th century kind of stuff.
You know, they're saying, well, they'll never find a job or they'll never get married, which is absolutely false. Yeah. Absolutely false. Yeah. And I don't have a personal dog in this fight. I don't have anybody in my family or anything, but but it really makes me angry when I hear talk like that.
Sure.
And now they want to have a registry of people with autism that quote study this situation.
No,
I know. I mean, that's again, this is a rerun.
It's a rerun.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the sequel is never as good as the original. So.
The original wasn't so great.
No, I know. So but yeah, you start getting these databases of the others and scary things happen. So
yeah, it doesn't pay to be too perspicuous about these things. I mean, one of the countries that was the most, I would say, open and kind to Jews in Europe in the lead up to the Holocaust was probably the Netherlands, a very understanding, very pluralistic society. They also had the misfortune of being fastidious record keepers. So when the Nazis took over the country, they knew exactly who the Jews were in that country. And so proportionally, not in absolute numbers, but in percentages, the number of Jews that were they were able to find and take out of the Netherlands was super high.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's pray for inefficiency.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, what else can I say?
Well, and that's, you know, again, I talked about the efficiency of propaganda compared to, you know, 70, 80 years ago.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, we have so much technology that can track people down, that can, you know, follow you by your phones with closed circuit TV cameras and things like that, and it's going to be really difficult.
I mean, well, we're already doing that. I mean, they're already doing that in China. I mean, that's the AI and social media inspired police state is being put together there right now. Here's a piece of happy news. Can I just share this?
Yeah, sure.
There was an announcement this week from the president of the French Republic, Emmanuel Macron, and he said that it's time to recognize the truth of history. The truth of history is that 200 years after King Charles X of France recognized the independence of Haiti, they're thinking about the whole question of reparations. And the reason why is because when Haiti became a separate nation, it was the only country in the world where the descendants of enslaved people were forced to compensate the descendants of their former colonial masters. So in other words, what had happened was in order to allow Haiti become a separate nation, the French kingdom at that time, the Kingdom of France, imposed upon Haiti that they would have to pay
for all of the slave people that became like free people.
Oh my goodness.
They had to compensate the former owners of those slaves. And so Haiti started out in a hole basically because of the gigantic debt that they had to pay.
Then they cut down all the trees. That didn't help.
Yeah, exactly. So this is they figured that over six decades, the amount of mammoth that was paid over six decades to French banks was probably in the hundreds of millions of dollars, goodness. And today would be maybe in the billions. So there's been a lot of interest in this topic and a lot of interest in possibly or likely doing something about it. But to have the president of the French Republic actually mention this and follow up on it is a very positive moment.
Wisconsin's own Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator, wants to hold hearings.
John Ronson.
John Ronson wants to hold hearings about 9/11.
What?
About the tower conspiracy theory. About he wants to get to the bottom of what really happened on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah. Well, it is all about distraction, after all.
I can never tell if like people like that are really that, I don't know, I want to say dumb, but dumb.
Yeah.
Or if it's just he's just playing to the rubes. I don't know if he's serious about
this. This is an interesting question generally, isn't it? Is that are they as cynically manipulative as you think they are? Or is it that they really are just kind of like strange?
Yeah. Well, that's like when Tim
Waltz. That boy ain't quite right.
Tim Waltz was calling them weird. Yeah, that stuck, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, let's see. I mean, this sounds like a fever dream, but I mean, Dr. Oz, who is he's head of the Medicare and Medicaid services now.
Oh, good Lord.
He's encouraged Americans to reduce drug spending by staying healthy.
He says, great idea.
It's your pick.
What, is he a super genius?
It's your patriotic duty
yeah.
of all Americans to take care of themselves. It's
because we're not going to.
And listen to this. It's important for serving in the military, but also important because healthy people don't consume health care resources. So don't get sick.
Spoken like a true man of the people.
Yeah.
Dr. Empathy, we call him. Most of the money that goes out the door is in the final years of life.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We have this spectacular ability to keep people sort of quasi alive, and we use it. So, you know.
Right. Take that woman. This is going to affect Wisconsin. The U.S. FDA has suspended milk quality tests.
Oh, Lord.
It's related to the workforce cuts there. So. It's suspending a quality control program for testing of fluid milk and other dairy products due to reduced capacity in its food safety and nutrition division.
All righty. Well, I have to say, maybe you put those stories together on purpose, but I think those might be actually kind of commenting on each other, those two stories. The one guy's saying, stay healthy. And the other story is, but we're not going to help with that.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, it's
catch, you.
Catch as catch can with this milk stuff, you know.
We've been doing the coal miner beat lately.
Here, oh, yeah.
So, coal miners lose safety nets as black lung programs collapse under Trump.
But, you know, they love to work in the mines.
They do. It's what they were born for.
Yeah. So. Well, that is probably what they think.
Yeah, so.
It's probably what the people in charge think.
The Minnesota GOP has introduced a bill that refers to vaccinations as weapons of mass destruction. Again, do they really believe this?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
I'm praying for a swarm of meteorites. Okay, well, so we had this thing about do-it-yourself health. Here, let me follow up on that. You know, to stay healthy, you don't need a health club membership. You really don't, you know? You can work out
just like Jaguar does, carrying giant boxes of records everywhere you go. it really gives you a strong back and, you know, good abs and everything.
You gotta stay healthy. I want to reduce health care.
There you go.
There
you
go. Yeah, I know.
That's
you,
very
thank you, citizen.
Patriotic of you, citizen. So
the American Heart Association recommends at least 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity aerobic exercise, like walking. Or 75 minutes of vigorous aerobic exercise like running or swimming to prevent cardiovascular disease. But any kind of physical activity could do that. You like to ride bike a
yeah,
lot, right?
I went for a real bike ride yesterday, first time since my knee surgery.
Excellent.
Like outside on a real bike. It was so exciting. It was
How did your phantom leg do?
Good. I, you know, it's got my cadaver knee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
doesn't have a mind of its own.
Sometimes it tries to strangle people, but, you know, but it's a knee. It can't really do much. Really,
it's only certain,
not like it's a hand.
Only certain people. People are going to be in that situation. we'll stop right there. And rather than buying supplements, Dr. Oz himself would approve, I assume.
Eat real food.
Eat real food. Mm. Yeah, that's a very important thing. Aim for 7 solid hours of sleep. And you know how you can do that best? Don't look at your freaking computer. You know, I mean, just don't. Don't even look at it.
Yeah,
that's gonna screw you up more than anything else. But yeah, because sleeping 7 hours a night is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, and you know, you're getting this while you're listening to this show, is train your brain to be optimistic.
This is not a very optimistic show this week.
Not this week, but you know. Depression, loneliness, those increase mortality risk.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really important to, you know, we're just little bonobos. Come on, you know, it's important to hang out with other people. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know how else I can say it.
Yeah.
It's just like, we got an app for that. Just do it, you know?
I've mentioned this before, but you know, we saw during COVID how powerful these social pressures are to go around and be with people.
Sure.
You know, we went to all these links that keep restaurants open, you know, on sidewalk restaurants or, you know, and there were people wanted to go to church, they wanted to go to bars, which in Wisconsin's the same thing.
Right? Bar in the front, church in the back. It's pass on through.
What I like to do for exercise, though, is like,
yeah.
you know, you see this, the athletes do it a lot, where you get out in a field and you got like the big tractor tire.
Yeah.
And you just flip it around and you throw it around and you flip it, and that's really good exercise. And then
do that?
Then when the farmer chases you, you get some aerobic exercise when you run away. So.
Yeah, and if you're into bleeding, when they pull the gun out.
It's usually just rock salt. So.
Yeah, right.
Oh, let's see. We got more salmonella. I'm tired of this. Let's do something different here.
I do wonder when they're going to put something about bleeding on the National Institute of Health site. Yeah, leeches.
Well, there was one guy, and I didn't have the heart to do this story. There was some guy somewhere in the health bureaucracy who was talking about demonic forces that were causing.
Yeah, I know where those are. Yeah. You know, they asked me, Mike, what I think about that.
Okay, here's a totally different story. We're going to change. We got about 8 minutes left here, so scientists have found a way to tattoo tardigrades.
We rule?
Little tramp stamps on them. I don't know where you'd put it on there.
They're cloaca.
They're about a half a millimeter long and can survive in practically anything.
They're great.
Yeah, I really do like them. Yeah. And the researchers took advantage of the tardigrade's nearly indestructible nature and gave the critters tiny tattoos to test a microfabrication technique.
What are these scientists, 12?
Let's put a tattoo on it.
Yeah. Right after we fry some ants with this magnifying glass, we're going to tattoo the tardigrades.
Metallica rules.
Exactly.
So they put the tardigrades into a cryptobiotic state. So it sort of says it's sort of a half dead suspended animation.
They're amazing. They really did just kind of like stop and then start again.
Yeah. So, and then the researchers placed a tardigrade into a carbon composite paper, cooled the sheet below 226 degrees Fahrenheit. These really are like.
Okay, I'm starting to sympathize with the Trump administration a little bit. Like, where are you getting the money to do this, guys?
And then they plastered a little tiny tattoo on these guys.
Yeah, so. Excellent. Yeah. All right.
Now they can track them, I guess. I don't know.
You got some info from the declining climate of our planet here. This rapid temperature swings are increasing. This is according to a study that was just published on Tuesday this week in the journal Nature Communications. And basically what they're saying is that rapid temperature change events have been increasing in frequency and intensity over the last few decades. The researchers examined temperature data from 1961 to 2023 to identify global patterns in sudden weather shifts, where temperatures in an area either jumped from cold to warm or went the other way around. And they found that instances of these flips increased by about 60% in the regions they surveyed over that period of time. So it's about 50 years. And the biggest increases in frequency were observed in South America, Western Europe, Africa, and South and Southeast Asia. And some areas, like the polar regions, showed different behavior, experienced fewer events. But, of course, theirs is more unidirectional. It's just like getting hotter and hotter.
Mm.
But the swings are, of course, where the winds are picking up and are being sort of agitated. It's an interesting result, said this one guy. Boy, that sounds like a scientist. Wouldn't it be fascinating to know what those aliens do with that probe? This guy's name is Philip Moat. He's a professor at Oregon State University.
Oh.
They thought to look at the climate system in a different way, a sort of sequencing of weather phenomena.
Wow.
So.
My seventh grade science teacher was Mr. Moat.
Really?
Yeah, maybe there's a connection.
Yeah, who knows?
Spain hits first weekday of 100% renewable power on national grid. Spain's grid ran entirely on renewable energy for the first time on April 16th, with wind, solar, and hydro meeting all electricity demands during a weekday. 5 days later, solar set a new record, generating 20,000 megawatts of instantaneous power, covering 78% of demand and 61% of the grid mix. So it can be done.
Meanwhile, we've got new coal fired.
Beautiful coal.
Beautiful.
Beautiful coal.
Clean. He always says that too. Clean.
Well, like, you have to wash
it. He says it every time. It'll make it true.
Right? Well, that's
his thought.
Propaganda number one.
That's
just his thought process. Repeat the lie. And
So some scientists, more scientists here. These are pesky scientists from the University of Auckland in New Zealand. And they were studying a kind of shark called a rig shark. Mustelis lenticulatus, and they found out that sharks actually make noises. They didn't know this. They do make noises. You know, we know dolphins whistle and whales sing and fish do all sorts of things.
Sure.
But until now, we haven't really realized that sharks make noises too. This was published in the journal Royal Society Open Science.
They just go yum.
They make clicky noises with their teeth. They've got a lot of them. And so they just kind of snap them together. They make these sort of clicking, sharp sounds, almost like an electrical spark. And, like when an electric spark, maybe it's like, thing happens.
Sure.
So other sea creatures have mechanisms for making sounds. You know, for example, like fish have swim bladders and things like that. But this is the only thing that sharks really have to make a sound is their teeth. And of course, you know, they were thought to be silent, but they were observing the behavior of these 10 rig, they're called rig, R-I-G sharks, housed in tanks equipped with underwater microphones. And on average, the shark would click 9 times in a 20-second interval.
Really?
And the researchers believe they made the sound by snapping their teeth together.
Oh, so, interesting. So,
kind of like snapping their fingers.
Yeah.
They're kind of cool sharks. Yeah. Mac the knife.
When the shark bites.
Exactly. So.
And when they gave them the microphones, they immediately started a podcast. Too.
Yeah. Everybody's doing it.
So, hey, I just want to mention that our pal Floyd has had, speaking of knees,
oh, right, yeah.
had his knee surgery.
Very good.
First of his knee surgeries on Tuesday, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he's getting the titanium knee, so he's transitioning to a titanium American. And
yeah.
We fully support that.
We support his transition.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though Iron Man's not too crazy about it.
We're going to have to start calling him It, though, is the only problem.
We don't know which bathroom to use.
Yeah, it was a gender preference.
Yeah, so anyway, so best of luck on your recovery there, and then I'm hoping things are going well, Floyd. Oh, let's see what else.
I guess I do, too.
Wisconsin air quality is down. It's declined. Sheboygan is one of the worst cities nationally for ozone pollution.
Oh, yeah. So, I heard about that.
Yeah. So
it was a big, let's see, there was a study that was done. I think it was at Johns Hopkins. Yeah, they did the study. They found that 156 million Americans live in with unsafe levels of ozone,
oh my goodness,
including our friends in Milwaukee.
Oh, ick. So, all right, time to declare the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. I think it's going to be nice one of these days. I don't know. There's your weather. There's your WRT weather. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Anything more than that would be like we'd have to try.
Look it up yourself. All right, stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks Three with the Real Jaguar, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WRT. Pants, was great to see you as
you too,
always.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And you are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, April 25th.
Over the millennia, farmers everywhere have learned the wisdom of a common sense practice in agriculture. Don't eat your seed corn. Raise the best crop you can, but be sure to store enough of the seed you produce this year to plant next year's crop. Even with a razzle-dazzle computerization of modern-day agriculture, seed savers are as essential as ever. Maybe more so, given climate change, mass pollution, species collapses, genetic loss, etc. Seeds are our future. Luckily, a local, national, and global movement arose decades ago to say, let's not be stupid, noting that new diseases, pests, blights, etc., continually break out around the globe, wiping out entire varieties of essential food crops. Pioneers of this movement set up a system of, quote, gene banks for future needs. Established in the Ag Department in 1898, these banks collect, store, and keep alive vast reserves of seeds containing the genetic diversity of our entire food supply. They are literally a human survivalist resource. For example, if a devastating fungus infects a variety of wheat, scientists can search 62,000 other wheat varieties in the gene bank to find seed with a natural resistance to that